from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
You know, it's so good to be back in the studio. I was here last week, but it still feels like it's been forever.
I think that maybe your mind has been as not as much of a vacation as your body, perhaps.
Dude, it has been. It's been crazy.
Maybe and now, your mind is on a vacation from your body.
You know what I've done for the past week is, argue with my wife about where we should go on this honeymoon that we're supposed to go on next week.
Oh, yes. That's a phrase I haven't heard before, and I'm not being sarcastic because you just got married.
Yeah, it's just weird. But anyway, I'm trying to look forward to this potentially amazing honeymoon and wherever. I'm curious where people think I should go, if you have suggestions. We're supposed to leave in 5 days, so I probably should have this arranged by now.
Well, but, I'll give you suggestions, but I don't think your wife will like them.
I think we're going to go to Caribbean. She wants to do, like, Montana or Alaska or Hawaii.
Montana?
See, right?
Caribbean?
Like, we could do a horseback ride. I want to do Caribbean because I want to see those white beaches and the clear blue water. That's the one thing I wanted to see in my whole friggin' life. When I think vacation, I think I've always seen in pictures. I want to see it in real life.
Go to Jamaica.
You know, the problem is, like, every little country.
Yeah, there's no problems.
Not the U.S.
Yeah, but once you get to Jamaica, no problems.
But there is.
Or Amsterdam.
There's some amount of political unrest.
There's an equal amount of.
Yeah, oh, right? No. So
yeah, but
she's all concerned. No,
your
she's
mind
like,
can
wait,
really go on a vacation there.
Wait, the Virgin Islands? If someone got dengue fever there last year, we can't go. I'm like, really, let's chill out for a second.
Yeah. Dengue fever, it's real.
You know what? There are diseases in the United States as well. There might be some tuberculosis person on the island. We're probably not going to be next to that person.
I think someone at the gym I just came from had dengue fever.
Right?
Or whatever that is.
He was mosquito.
Your gym is a real mixed bag, man.
Yeah, I just said dengue fever by accident. That's pretty fun.
Whatever. All right, well, enough about me.
Who are
Let's
we?
Let's talk about you. Colin.
Hi.
I heard that you wrote a script for the show.
I did.
You did?
But I didn't bring it.
But you didn't bring it to the show.
Exactly.
That is an unfortunate turn of events.
Baby steps.
Nice.
Baby
right?
steps. I really like the soundboard we got going
right?
on tonight.
Well, we got someone who's paying attention back
this is very lively. This is very nice.
So let me ask you, when you write a script, let's bring it back to what's relevant to you. You go to school. You're going to ASU, right?
Correct.
When you have a project or an assignment that's due, and you complete that assignment, do you bring it to class or in some other way transmit it to the professor so that he can look at it?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe that's why you're still going to ASU.
No,
exactly.
Throughout my college career... I just assume that I just have to do the assignment and that's it. I didn't know I had to bring it in.
We're on the honor code here at Chatterbox, I thought.
All right. Well, let's move on past that unfortunate reality. And maybe in 3 weeks we'll have that script. Or you guys can do it while I'm away so that I can feel left out of the thing that I've been wanting to do for weeks.
So now, can you guys tell me what the script is again?
Not at all.
Not at all. We can't tell our listeners.
It's got
to
be a surprise.
It's a surprise.
No.
But can we tell it? Can we say like what it is? Because he's not going to be... like reading a scene from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
No, I believe it contains some amount of awesome sauce.
Okay.
That's all I can give you.
All right.
It's got some
Can
oil
you tell
in
me
it.
What this game you've been working on for a year is all about?
No, but I'm bound by NDA.
All right. Well, this is like a pinky swear between Colin and I.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough.
Right? That
Fair
has
enough.
As much legal binding
yeah,
as an NDA,
it's
doesn't
it's much
it?
Cheaper to execute.
Yes. It's true. All right, so all this stuff's been going on. This Real ID thing was a big stink. The ESRB gaffe related to the Real ID thing is what I have in front of
right.
me.
And it's WoW we're talking about.
Yes, well, it all relates to WoW. Is that what you guys want to cover now? Or
let's
hit the ground running.
Okay, so let someone else explain this better than I would. The Real ID thing, forums, they wanted real names on there, right?
Yes.
All right,
so
start from the beginning.
Your World of Warcraft's Blizzard announced that they wanted to kind of clean up corruption and like people just being jerks on their forums, so they decided they were going to link...
I have a douchebag plus 10 on my character.
They wanted to clean up all of that nonsense and make more of a community out of it. So they were going to link your World of Warcraft account and your Battle.net account to your real name. And everyone freaked out about this because they were like, I don't want people to know who I really am. What if they come hunt me down and kill me? What if I'm a girl and they sexually harass me? There's a bunch of like other issues along with it. And then so Blizzard, and after 2 days of just hearing all this like crazy flaming going on, people were like releasing Blizzard employee information on the, like, well, if they're gonna release our information, let's release their information.
Oh, really? Retaliatory conduct. That's always pleasant.
Yeah. And then, so after 2 days, Blizzard backed out of it. They're like, we're not gonna do it for World of Warcraft, but I think they're still gonna go ahead and do it for Battle.net.
It'll be optional now, as I understand. Okay. But now, Colin, do you play the world of
Warcraft? I have played World of Warcraft before.
You've played it before, but are you currently engaged?
I follow it. So I have a couple of friends who all play it, so.
Dude, let me tell you, I came across Metafilter at some point in the last week or so. Have you been?
No. This is your first time Metafilter?
On their community forums.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy, right? Like, there's forums everywhere in the world. There's a million of them. I also haven't been to, like, 4chan. I hear people talk about 4chan all the time.
You've never been to 4chan before?
Never been.
That's...
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
I was going to say... the idea of the internet. That's real people right there.
Tell me that is not a good thing for me to avoid, right?
No, it's a good thing for you to avoid.
So anyway, I come across Metafilter, and then... I want to respond to someone, and I realize, oh, there's a $5 fee. And I'm like, well, I'm sure not paying that $5 fee. I'm not going to – I don't care about them that much.
What's this $5 for?
In order to be a part of the forum, like to maintain the cost of the forum and stuff because it's very big. It's popular.
I think it's more of like a filter to keep like the noobs out.
Huzzah!
I don't think it's really for the
cost.
You
are correct, sir. It's also a giant hurdle for the douchebags.
Yeah.
And if WoW wants to have a forum, great. If they want to have people who aren't total douchebags on the forum – there you go. They've already got people paying them money. It's just another revenue stream for them anyway. But just the threat of having to lose your account for being a dick and then having to buy it back again an infinite number of times because you're infinitely douchey, that's great. That's all it takes, man. It could be as low as a dollar. I think Metafilter's $5.
That sounds really smart. $5, I think,
right.
Is a nice
threshold. A small hurdle. There are all sorts of people or companies or whatever
have in the
small
internet world?
Hurdles to prevent the super douchebaggery of anonymity and freeness.
When looking at the microcharges they already have in World of Warcraft, like if you want to change your character's race or whatever, like how they look, it's like $15. If you want to change servers, it's like $25. Like there's already little microcharges in the game, so it's like...
Did you just call $15 and $25 microcharges?
Yeah, well, compared to buying a new game, like there's money already associated with
these. Let me tell you, signature is required using my credit card at the grocery store. It's not a microcharge.
Okay.
$15 and $25 fall into
comparatively, you can buy a fake course for $25, a Celestial Steed.
This is funny. This is like the schedule fee at a bank.
What?
There's a schedule fee?
A fee schedule.
A fee schedule. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I was like, am I going to have to pay to meet with my banker?
No, that was just my handleism impression there.
Okay. Rebecca. But do you guys think there's a valid point in, like, protecting? Like, what if people don't want to get out the word that they're actually, like, they play World of Warcraft? What are, like, the shame? It's not
Dude, I was
culturally...
totally into the idea. I was like, real ID? Yes. Real names. Because you know that they are full of dickheads on that
This
on that
is
forum.
Funny because we briefly, real briefly, off the air talked about this last week. And my reaction was... you got to use your real name? Okay, sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
At the same time, if even one person pretended that they had been raped or hunted or stalked because of this, and of all the places where that would actually happen, I would give it up to the WoW forums.
Yeah, because they're just so voluminous.
Because there's so many, and because it's an even gender split.
Yeah.
And because... the type of people who would be on there anyway are the ones who love technology and love using technology to find the information they want and then maybe take it a bit further.
They've already stalked the person.
They've already proved their point by like finding Blizzard like staffers. Like, oh, here's their like identity. It's like they already found that information. It was already possible.
So they're guaranteed the ones to be stalkerish. If any of that even like if two people just pretended that had happened, you know, pretended to be the stalker and the stalkee, that would would end it, man. It would be such a horrible PR move. Like, we told you shouldn't have this real ID system, and then you did, and some girl got raped, or some dude, and, like, super bad news. So, and the problem is, right? So, I wish you had actually put a raising slide whistle with that. That would have been more interesting for that. Anyway, I wish we had more generic last names. Like, if we were all just, like, Joe Johnson and... but then it would kind of take the real ID function or usefulness out of it.
It would be like more of a social thing so people could find you, right? Because Blizzard already knows your real name. So it's not like they're doing it to... Because they can just ban you outright, can't they?
I assumed the purpose of the real ID was so that you... So the anonymity would be gone and you would stop being such a loser.
Okay. Right.
But hopefully. I didn't read them saying that. I'm just assuming that. If you're telling me it's so that like people are just easier to find, whatever. I mean, I wouldn't believe you.
Being dickheads, they can just ban them outright, can't they? Like cancel their account, do whatever they want.
I mean, they could, but then you can just set up a new one because it's free.
It's not free to set up a WoW account. You have to buy the game again. If you get banned, if they ban your code.
You can't just join the forums for free.
I don't think you can, because your account is already, it's attached to it. So if they got your picture of your, they have your level and your picture of your character.
Oh, so you're saying they would ban you from WoW for being a dickhead in the forums?
Yeah, if you're being as bad as they're making it out to be, couldn't they just do that?
I guess. In which case, there is that hurdle.
You know what was one other aspect of this whole Real ID thing that I thought was a real big negative to actually having your real name online? There's so much stigma now with being a WoW player that I could totally see people being afraid that prospective employers, right, will find them on WoW and see how much time they're playing on the game or get some kind of gauge of their involvement in the game and then deny employment because obviously this person is playing WoW 24/7 or what have you.
Dude, I mean, maybe different employers have different opinions, but I wouldn't care. I'd be like,
well I know
that person's smoking crack.
Well, this is funny because it's come up in the media that people have actually either been, I don't know, like lost their jobs or have been prevented from getting jobs because, you know, employers have found out certain things on like social websites, for example, about them. And so, I mean, like there's no reason why that couldn't work similarly.
Sir, on your background check, it says you play WoW. I'm afraid you're not getting the job.
Yeah. Although on the other hand, I did read a news story the other day about how some guy basically became a CEO with a six-figure job that he apparently attributed to his massive WoW involvement, which who knows how
I did read an article where some guy was going for a job interview and then like he said, oh, I play WoW, that's my leadership experience. And the guy who was interviewing him was also in his guild, they just never met in real life, and then he got the job. Like, he was on the spot there.
Nice.
Okay,
so
if the guy who's interviewing you is in your guild, then he'll give you the job, and if he doesn't play WoW, then he definitely won't give you the job.
I think I've told this story before, but I applied for a job at Toys R Us once in my teens, and there were more than 50 questions on the test that you take when you apply, and one of the questions was, can you count above 50? But they were numbered questions greater than 50. So I found that to be hilarious. And what I can tell you is that WoW players can count at least to 80. So good for
85, same with the new expansion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then. I mean, they're getting smarter by the expansion. All right, well, we'll have a new topic when we get back, everybody. Sit tight. We'll be right back.
And we are back. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and I am one of your hosts. My name is Ara.
Is that how we're opening now?
That's how I'm opening right this second, yeah.
Well, my name...
Can you handle it?
My name is not Ara.
No.
Isn't my phone not supposed to make noise?
It's really pink.
Really pink. Because I got
That's
a bumper,
what I was trying
dude.
To say. You got the bumper. I was trying to make fun of you. You didn't even realize it. You were so out of it when I got in here.
No, man. I know what you said, but... You weren't really making fun of me.
You guys totally just destroyed the momentum
of
this intro.
I'm calling.
What are you talking about? Listen, I got a pink bumper for my iPhone 4, and it's fabulous. And I actually need another one. They're very hard to come by.
Do you need another
one? Just get a Livestrong band.
To put around?
Just put a Livestrong band
around. Around the current one?
For the lady. She needs the pink one, too, but I can only get one. Like, I have a guy at work
get a
who
breast
has
cancer
them,
badge.
And I got one. And
just
I
get
need
one
to
of those breast
another...
cancer little wristlet things. Put it
no,
around there.
No, we need the real thing, man. It's got metal buttons, yo.
Okay.
Metal buttons.
I am not gay.
I'm so happy there's the button for that on the soundboard.
Fantastic.
All right.
So, moving right along, let's announce that that we have a sponsor, the University of Advanced Technology. UAT.edu is the website. Go there, learn how to learn, and you know, we'll talk more about them later in the show. If you want to call us, 866-536-1100. When you do call, make sure not to use the word that starts with dick and then ends with head, because we've been told we can't use that one anymore. However, either one of those words by themselves, totally okay.
Go check out the chat room, too.
I get very little direction about what I can and cannot say on the show, and I was happy to finally get that.
That's nice. And the word that starts with F also.
We know that one's bad.
And the one that starts with S. But you can say poo.
Yes.
If it's in context, right, then you're fine. It just can't be as a derogatory
F and S in context, still not good.
I'm going to do this for a whole radio business.
Not good. We'll lose 7 seconds of our lives.
Also, go to the chatterboxgameshow.com and go to the chat room. I'm manning that.
All right. So did we have more to talk about the real ID thing? Because were talking about during the break.
So we've got one little – there's been a little twist that came up as of recently.
Oh, the email.
And that's the ESRB email. So what happened was apparently a bunch of people emailed the ESRB – complaining about Blizzard part of this user reaction to their
initial. I want to know what the ESRB has to do with it, first off. Because when I think I want to complain to someone about this, I don't think I'm going to go to the people who make the ratings.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I would...
EFF, maybe. ESRB,
they
not
have a whole
at
privacy
all.
Thing that goes with it, too. It's like the Privacy Online program, and it's there to keep people like... They're the guys who, like, if you play online, your information may be compromised and stuff like that. That little warning that comes on when you go on Xbox Live, it's
there. They're involved with the privacy? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then there's, like...
No, I'll give you that. That makes sense.
No, then. But then there's, like, you know, there's, like, the ECA, like, Entertainment Consumers Association, and, like, that sounds more
appropriate. Well, I'm sure they got a collection of emails, too, but I will accept that. I'll stand corrected that maybe they're the suitable organization, and I just didn't know it.
I didn't know it until I went on the website just now and looked at
say,
it.
Needless to say, that you can certainly not deny that they are... the most visible third-party organization pertaining to video games.
Yes, I just didn't think that they pertained to this in any way.
Yeah.
But.
So what happened was ESRB gets tons and tons of messages complaining about this, and they're like, okay, you know, a lot of people are complaining about this. Let's send them all an email and, you know, give them our position on this.
So been there, done that.
So they did. You know, typical normal procedure, normal protocol happens all the time. And then the particular somebody who sent the email decided, I don't know how to use computers. I'm going to reveal the list of every single email that I'm sending this to every recipient as well.
Yeah. Just to educate our listeners, it took me a while to learn this in life, but there's a field called BCC, which stands for blind carbon copy. You want to put all of your recipients in there. If you put them in the to or the CC, everyone else is going to see them.
You know what? I bet they were using Outlook, because Outlook likes to hide the BCC field until you actually press some kind of mouse or keyboard combination to reveal it. Normally, that field is actually just not there at all.
It's likely.
Good Thunderbird.
So, listen, I'm just teaching you folks. BCC... in order to keep things private.
Yeah, so here's the funny part. Apparently one of the emails on that list was, I don't give up my private email at ESRB.org, which obviously is not a real email, right? So at least one person was smart enough to preemptively recognize that, hey, if I give them my email, it might end up somewhere I don't want it to be. So he just put in that fake email as his contact.
Well, I mean, there's probably a Phil McCracken at somewhere as well. That probably the same situation.
Maybe.
Someone gave the wrong information.
See, when I registered my domain, my company name is You Can't Have My Domain Name Studios.
That's interesting.
So
what you might not realize is that you could have that domain taken away from you for putting false information on there.
Yeah, or maybe it's actually the name. So how so there?
Well, I mean, if you have the right paperwork to prove it, sure.
I have paper in my house.
Okay.
Great. The video games.
All right. So I think we've exhausted that story, so let's move on.
I'll put it over here.
Oh, there's so much. so all right. much.
So what do we got here? Let's talk about Microsoft, the Live, the latest stuff going on at the Live Arcade.
Their summer thing, their Summer of Arcade.
Their Summer of Arcade. They got six games coming out. You buy five, you get one free.
Dude, I saw the Monday Night whatever thing. What's it called?
Monday Night Fever or something?
Really? Buy five, get one free?
Yeah.
Okay,
I think it's buy four, get one free.
Okay, even with buy four, get one free, like this is like the discount card that I get at this cheap teriyaki joint where if I buy like 10 entrees, I'll get $3 off.
I like it when it's not even get one free. It's like get an ice cream for $1.50.
You don't even get it for free.
So you buy all five, you get free 1,200 points. If you buy three, you get 400 points.
Oh, okay. This sounds a little more reasonable now.
The games look pretty good, though. Like, I'm not...
What's the name of the Monday Night one? Because it's bugging me that I don't know.
Let's see here. I got the website up. It's Monday Night Combat.
Monday Night Combat.
Okay,
we mentioned this last week, right?
Yeah,
looks a lot like The Grid, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so the five games are Limbo, which looks awesome, Hydro Thunder Remake, the new Castlevania game, this Monday Night Combat game, and the Lara Croft game.
Which is, and then the Monday Night game is only playable on Monday nights?
That's what I heard, but I'm not entirely sure.
It's always Monday somewhere.
Terrible.
Okay,
not
so
really.
It's always terrible. There. I know one game out of those that I'm going to get. I don't know about the other ones.
Okay, Limbo... have you guys seen anything for this game at all?
Yeah, it looks promising.
I've heard the name and I've heard people say good things about it, but I don't have at all even a sliver what it's like.
It's from the art house kind of category. It's a black and white game. It's trying to do a minimalist thing where you're a little boy and you wake up and then you just start walking from back to forth in this forest.
Lord. Do we have an art house category now?
I'm guessing so. It falls in that same category of Braid.
We
and
do
all
on
that.
PS3.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Seriously?
But like... you can die really easily in this game, and all the death animations are really hyper, like, detailed. So, like, you can walk in a bear trap and get your head cut off, and then your head just kind of rolls off, and it just looks great. But and there's, like, a giant spider. You get stabbed by spiders, and it looks like it's going to be pretty hard, too, but they're pretty – they try to be liberal with their checkpoints.
Well, everybody knows that lots of death animations are the hallmark of an expertly crafted game.
Yeah. Well, this one makes a point of making it just ridiculous, like – with everything, and I'd suggest everyone to go watch a video of it because I really want to get this game.
I think it looks promising, but I'll tell you this, and I'm directing this at you, Colin.
Yeah,
I've been effed with throughout my life with buying games that looked like they were going to be awesome, and so what's happened? What you see before you is a surly man that can only emerge after years of getting beaten over the head with promises. Unfulfilled. So let that be a lesson to you.
Tell me again, this game. You said it comes with little boys.
Yeah, I thought you'd be interested. It comes with little boys.
Well, it was a bummer because I tried to slip in the "I like little boys" joke earlier, and nobody heard it, and so I had to find a way to repeat that. So anyway, I just for your listening pleasure.
There's a lot of Japanese games starring little boys.
That's good. My God! Did you hear that they're porting that the gay shooter? Like it's the homoerotic.
Choniki, baby.
Yeah, they're porting it to PS3.
Dude, I've got that for the TurboGrafx CD, man.
Yeah, but it's coming out again, so you can buy it twice.
You have Choniki?
I think so. Yeah.
Go look up a video of that stuff, and you'll be.
Yeah, that's a.
It'll make your night.
There's more than one Choniki. There's a bunch.
Oh,
of
yeah,
them.
There's more.
Well, this is the PS1. Yeah, this is the PS1 version of it. They're porting to it.
So that's probably the latest version, probably.
Okay, but back to the Summer of Arcade. So Microsoft is releasing this new UI because if you've used the UI for the Xbox Live Arcade stuff, it's pretty hard to navigate. You have to go through like four different screens to get to whatever you want.
Yeah, it's not that hard to navigate actually. But they're saying it's hard, but I'm not going to take their word for it.
Okay.
Should we hold off on this?
But we're coming up on the break.
Given that we can't talk for another 5 minutes. Yes.
So, we shall return.
Do you want to sign off, Colin? Do it. You've never done it before.
All right, guys. We'll be back.
We're back. Colin, you wanted to talk about this are we trying to talk about the new Microsoft Arcade experience, or are we...
Well, I want to hear your take, what you just said to us over the break about the virtual store stuff.
Because
I feel
store.
That's a little bit more interesting.
You were telling me about this new Microsoft Arcade
okay.
display.
Yeah, let's explain
thing.
That.
Let's finish the
all.
Thread, I guess. So Microsoft, they're releasing this new way to kind of browse all the arcade games, and they're trying to make it a little bit more user-friendly. But the weird thing is, you can download it only within 1 month of it being released on July 21st. But it'll be usable indefinitely, and I'm not really sure why they would do something like that. Why would they release...
Well, because it's like a beta.
It's funny, but it sounds like there's been some lines crossed in the way that they've announced this public information, because apparently Major Nelson publicly stated, he was like, I just checked and found out that, you can only download it for 1 month. You know, but there was never an official... mention that this was intended to be beta, which is obviously on the surface of it, that's what it seems like, or anything like that. So yeah. It's just a little unclear.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it'll be a full release later on.
Yeah.
If it's not yet, right?
If it's not crap.
We've got to wait until the fall for the Kinect update
whenever, gonna come with
whenever
it,
that
yeah.
happens. So it'll probably come with that. But anyway, what I was saying during the break was, I want... You go into Xbox Live or... in PlayStation, whatever. PlayStation actually does a slightly better job of this.
Although I have to say that both of the, not even just both, all three of the online interfaces for purchasing games.
Oh, the Wii is miserable. Let's not even talk about it.
Are lacking in one dimension or another. They're all pretty lame as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. What's funny is they have all these people who are great with interfaces working at these companies, right? Making video game stuff, visuals and ways to see information and ways to change information. And what they haven't done is just create, I walk into a store. Some people walk into stores and they want to look at games by looking at them on the wall and by picking them up and all that stuff. And obviously I'm not going to pick up a game, although now with the PlayStation Move, it'd come a lot closer. I want them to not just make this linear list of games that I can look through that are categorized by whatever category, by date or by rating or whatever. I want to be able to filter by those things, but I also want the results to be shown to me like a shelf, like the Apple bookstore on the new iPad and iPhone or whatever.
Scroll through it.
Yeah, where it looks like a friggin' bookshelf, right? They get it. They get that people don't want change, man. They want what they're used to, what they're comfortable with.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of change so much, but
if they want to make it realistic for me, they'll also take little kids that run through the virtual store and knock the games onto the floor. So I then have to pick them up off the floor.
Just this disgruntled GameStop employee. Yeah. Just like, oh,
no.
God.
And then you have the virtual gamer employee come who has to put them. And then you've got the managers going, no, you've messed it up. Alphabetize them. S comes before T, right? You need that. Otherwise, it's taking the realism out of it.
So you got to do that whole semi-alphabetized thing, right? Because you'll really love that, where it's not really alphabetized, but...
The
you
J's,
know that,
they're all together, the J's.
The J, will probably be, on the left side compared to the Z's.
Yeah.
But
really, what I want, I don't need just this one long line. Give me this large field. And I mean, infinitely large would be a bit much.
Yeah,
but a larger field that I could then zoom in on what I want. We have all this 3D-ness we can work with. Just give me a box cover, and then give me the chance to look at the back of the box cover. And hopefully, companies would then come in and provide more information than just the back of the box. They would, because honestly, you go to look for a game these days, and you can look at a game and not even know what type of game it is, not know what genre. If it's not a sports game,
oh sure,
you won't know. Is this an RPG? Is it an action adventure? How do I? All they do is talk about the storyline and the
right.
cinematics.
It's that's hilarious. But the whole marketing shtick with what to put on the box, their whole mission is not to inform you. Their mission is to goad you into buying that product right then and there, which is ironic because if you look at the back of the box and actually kind of study to see what most people have done, a lot of times it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, I need them to tell me a little bit more about the game on the back of the box, so I must be wholly different than the general audience.
Well, I feel like we're more informed than everybody else. So, what are people thinking when they go into the store and look at a game? They're just I don't know what this is, but I like Marcus Fenix on the cover. So I'm going to buy it.
See, people buy the cover, but then the back cover, I don't know what happens there.
I think what it is, and I'm speculating here because, you're right, Colin, that, all three of us are...
But we don't understand what's going on.
Well,
what are the other people thinking?
Well, hold on. I think I have some insight here, okay? We all look we have our value system for video games is different than the average person.
Yeah.
The average person just wants to is not even looking for a game per se, is not even looking for a specific type of game per se, is not interested in the mechanics or anything like that. They're just looking for something, some kind of generalized entertainment medium that will, I don't know, just catch their interest and hopefully for the publisher result in a sale. And so I think what they're trying to do anyway is that now a lot of people who are not gamers have trouble understanding, for example, like, why do you do things in games? Like, why am I stacking up these blocks? You know, like, we don't need this because we understand, like, okay, Tetris.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to have a narrative. And I don't think that actually people necessarily need to have a narrative per se to understand what the game is, you know, like chess, for example, right? But at the same time, the easiest way to kind of put it in the player's head, this concept of like what might be appealing, is to put in these, you know, mention these story elements, for example, or mention what you're doing in the game in a narrative context, which, even though it sounds lame and crazy, I don't know. I would shudder to think that they really don't know what they're doing at all, and that whatever's being put on the back of the box is actually completely ineffective. On the other hand, you know, marketing is the kind of world where these types of things, it's very, very hard to get any clear data on. So
I want a virtual store.
So to address that point.
But I also want a highly filterable.
Yeah. So check this out. So I would like, I don't really care if it's a virtual store or not. Now, I think that definitely one thing that is part of what you were explaining that you wanted, which I think is really important, is just to be able to view lots of titles on the screen at once by looking at the covers.
Yeah, and I'm worried that maybe, you know how you always say people don't know what they want?
Yeah, because they don't.
Yeah, I could get that and be like, oh, this totally sucks. I just want a grid like PSN. But that's why I was saying PSN is better, because it shoves a lot more at once. I can look through and have 16 games on the screen at once, and then I can pick which one I want to zoom in on.
I think the best interface has been Valve, though. Have you guys seen the new Steam update?
PSN, yeah, that has its problems. Yeah. I haven't used Steam enough to really comment.
Well, they have that same kind of grid-like system going on there, too. Yeah.
PSN, finding what you want is an absolute pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But once you get to the subcategory that you want to look at, the information is displayed better because you get more on screen at once. It's not just linear,
sure,
like it is on Xbox. So that's what I like about it. But you're absolutely right. Like, if I want to find an expansion pack for this particular game, like, I have no idea how to look for it.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing too is that, you know, in all of these systems, for things like expansion packs and downloadable stuff, right? Like, the music games just completely break the interface, because let's like look at what they currently have for Xbox Live Arcade, right? If you're looking at a list, you can see what, like 8 items on a screen at once, maybe not even that much. And each one, you know, they're displayed like cards one behind another, right? So each successive one you see less of, right? And you'll go into the list and be like, okay, I want to look at what's new for download on like current games, right? Like new downloadable content. And the list will just be all Lips items, right? So if I don't have Lips, I have to scroll through 30 items to see what comes after that. Which makes no sense, right?
By the way, I haven't opened it.
And then after that, right, then there's like 10 things for Guitar Hero 5 or whatever. And then after that, and I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, it's really hard to, like, the interface was designed for you to look through. Like, they completely didn't anticipate.
You know
this.
What nobody has? These online expansion systems, they don't have the expansions for games I own.
Yeah, that would, you know what? I think that, let's see, you might be able to do that individually per game, like
every,
if you're in the game.
From within the game, yeah. You can do that, yeah.
Right, but you're right. I would really like to do that. I would really like to browse just exactly what you're saying without having the game loaded itself.
Yeah. And with episodic gaming sort of finally coming into play, they're going to have to do that, because let's say I have 10 different games, all of which I want to play, right? They're not old and abandoned anymore. Like, there's 10 games that maybe I want to play, you know, the new episode of this one, and later I'll get to the new episode of this one. Or maybe I haven't played this in 6 months and I want to get back to it. But there's a lot of new material. I should be able to say, show me everything for games that are in my library.
Steam
and it,
totally
it should know what's
that.
In the library, because it knows what disc you've had in your system before.
Yeah, I think Steam totally does that, but like with things like the Xbox 360, where you can't like Mark One to like make your game be registered just to that console? It's like, how are you supposed to make sure it's not a rental?
Well, I mean, you could always, you would then have to integrate a management system.
Yeah.
But at very least, they could say downloadable content for games I've played.
That makes sense.
Because
I
you have an
that.
Achievement of at least zero for any game
right.
that you play legitimately.
Track. It knows.
So just based off of your achievement list,
right?
Even if you have zero achievements, but your points, right, from games.
Yeah. You know what? The funny thing about all of this is that the quality of these interfaces is what will directly impact sales.
Oh, yeah.
And this is really ironic because the better they make this interface, the more they will sell. And these interfaces, I mean, by all accounts, compared to what's been done out there, kind of suck.
And that's what's hard for the content producers, because they don't have control of any of the systems. They don't
right.
have control of the storefronts, like the real live storefronts.
Right.
They don't have control of the virtual storefronts at all. So that's why cover art is such a huge deal.
Yeah.
To draw people in, right? Because they can't control how that's displayed to someone. But if they can produce their own interface, then great. That's what they should hammer on Microsoft to make a better one.
And I got to say, the whole, you know, Sony's thing with like 10, 15, 20% of their games having demos. I mean, Microsoft really set the precedent, you know,
for making pretty much all of their games.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really rough. Like, I don't want to buy anything online on PSN because I don't know what it plays like.
That's true. At least nowadays we can do that instead of relying on crappy back box art.
True.
Yeah, Metacritic.
Yeah, and that too. We'll be right back, folks.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
We are back, and we are continuing to be sponsored by the University of Advancing Technology, whose website is at uat.edu. I promised we would talk about them later in the show. I went there. Colin has not gone there.
I've been there.
Been there?
Yeah.
Yes. Attended
nice.
And graduated from there.
Nah.
No, I have, though. Yeah, good place. It actually is a lot of fun. I only spent 2 years there, or like a year and a half, but, you know, it's because I already had a degree. I breezed through that noise, just in and out.
You know it's a good place when they sell magic cards in the student shop.
Do they?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had a student shop. That's new.
I guess so.
Okay, fantastic.
I got
but
a
you can
quick
borrow,
story
you can borrow
magic.
Video games from the school library, so that's awesome.
They have video games in the lunchroom, I saw when I was there. Yeah,
they definitely do that.
So wait, they sell the cards, right? It's not like...
Oh, they sell the cards, yeah. And they also have like little like controllers you can write to play like Guitar Hero in the lunchroom.
Yeah. I got a little story about magic for you guys.
Okay.
Right. It's gonna be brief.
I'm wary.
All right. I know. You should be. So magic's like this huge thing now, right? So
now?
Well, it was. It's probably still. Come on.
15, 20 years
it's
ago.
It's still going on.
Okay. So
okay.
1994, 1995. Okay.
That's about the right time. Yeah.
Freshman year for me in college. Mm-hmm.
That was like freshman year for me in high school.
Right. Okay. Well, no way, dude. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so I go to I find some like anime store, like literally like the beginning of my freshman year. I find like some anime store like down on the street next to the college because I'm like exploring the campus, right? And then they have this card game that this guy's telling me about, right? And it's magic. Okay.
It's magical or it's actually magic?
No, it's magic. Okay.
Magic
this
the
was
Gathering.
Before, like before anything, before anyone heard of it, before it was big.
Is there any
before
magic?
Anyone got into it?
Is there magic that's not The Gathering, or is it just always Magic the Gathering?
No, I think it's just Magic the Gathering.
So they made a subtitle and never made a different one.
Well, yeah, they can do that.
Okay.
So I was like, me and my friend were there. I was like, hey, you know, why don't we get this? You know, let's play. You know, so he bought a deck. I bought a deck, right? And we tried to play through a game. We tried to stumble our way through the game because the rules are rather complex, especially when you first try it. And we were both like, this is lame. This is lever work. This is totally like, and we're like uber nerds. And we're just like, yeah, this is total crap, man. This is so retarded. And then, so we just set it aside. I don't know where my magic cards are. And then next thing I know, it's like the biggest thing in the world. So shows you what I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a friend who, he was one of those friends who would fall into whatever it is the other people were doing, right? So he liked really giant raver jeans at one point and was getting jeans with like 22-inch diameter pant legs,
really?
Like individual legs. And like the glow sticks. And then other time he was really into whatever rock death metal. And other times he was like trying to be a skinhead or something. Like all these different, he would do whatever. Whatever. I don't know what he actually did.
I get mistaken for skinhead.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, he would just always do what other people were doing. And at some point he got into magic, which surprised me because he didn't go through much of a nerd phase. That was more my style. And so I'm hanging out with him one day and he's like, yeah, let's play some magic. I was like, really? All right, I haven't done that before, but okay. And I don't remember what happened. Like, we didn't have enough to go around. We made do with whatever deck we could, but didn't interest me that much. But I have a feeling that if I really wanted to get into it, I totally could.
If you wanted to. I have a bunch of friends who wanted to play, and I just, like, picked it up this year, and I started playing it. I dropped, like, $100 on buying one of those big boxes so we could do, like, a draft. And I have, like, all these cards just sitting around that no one's playing with, so.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about games like that. The biggest problem that I had is that your performance in that game is directly related to your ability to buy the best cards.
Yes, that is
In addition to constructing a deck in a certain way, right? They keep on releasing new cards, and they keep on releasing things, and you have to keep buying stuff, and.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? They found a hook and they got a lot of people on it.
But so. I do like the idea of playing a game where if I do well, I get literally something back. Because when oftentimes you play Magic, you get to keep the cards that you win.
Not anymore.
And that was a great... What do you mean, not anymore?
They got rid of that rule. No one plays like that anymore.
Nobody plays like that anymore?
Yeah, nope.
It's not like
what do you mean they got rid of that rule? How do you get rid of the rule?
It used to be in the rule books, but they took it out.
It used to be actually built into the rules?
Yes.
When you play, you
there
keep the
There was a
cards.
Variant of the game that you could play like that.
Wow, and they just take it out.
Yeah.
You want to hear another one?
I know that the schools didn't like that because kids were getting upset when they lost their cards.
Yeah, well, I could see that, but...
But that's part of it. I mean, that means something.
Yeah.
That you got to be really serious when you play. You got to be careful. Like, there is a repercussion. It's like poker. You and I have played
that's
poker.
That's right. It is
like, this
very
is
much
serious
like poker.
Business. Yeah. If you play poker without the money behind it, it's a waste of your time because people just play like crazy people.
That's true.
Because who cares?
That's
right?
True.
They realize it's meaningless. But when you play with your actual money, by the way, I did very well at poker last night, then people play for real. And if you're playing with your magic cards and your green dragon of whatever is going to get lost if you let him die, then,
yeah,
dude, that
gonna
is
be rough.
Serious business.
Yeah, here's another little factoid about the magic game. Apparently, a certain aspect of the rule system is actually patented.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
So,
except that there's a million other games that completely rip off Magic.
Right, but there's a certain aspect of the way that they do it that no other game is allowed to do, and it's part of the rule system. And I find it.
You don't know what that is?
You know what? It's not coming to me. It has something to do with the way there's some randomization of doing something with the cards.
You can't shuffle cards.
There's,
it's patented.
That must be it then. There must be, I don't know.
It can't be shuffling cards.
Okay, there's something about it. Maybe one of our wonderful listeners will call in 866-536-1100.
Wikipedia that noise.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I just find it fascinating that you can actually patent a rule.
Okay.
There's been video game patents for the craziest things.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of them.
And that irks me, too, because I don't think that those kinds of things should be patentable. You should not be able to patent that you have four buttons, and each one of them gives you an independent view in an arcade machine. You should not be able to patent the fact that you can have an interactive sequence while a loading screen is happening. Both those things are actually patents owned by Sega and Namco, respectively.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Nintendo has I read something a long time ago about how Nintendo has a bunch of different video game patents, but they haven't enforced any of them. So they have them, but you know, they let other people have digital pads. But they made the D-pad, so
right.
That's weird.
Well, I think that it's like the particular cross design that Nintendo does, at least enforce. Because
yeah.
If you look at their unique, distinct cross design.
Nobody else has that.
And you can see there's third-party peripherals that will make very small adjustments to it to make it so that it doesn't look like that anymore.
Yeah.
That so I can see a patent.
So do we have time for Danger Dan?
We have total time for Danger Dan. That's a great topic for us to talk about.
Let's finish it up with Danger Dan.
We got like 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
So there was actually yesterday, there's this thing called a Develop Conference. So there's a lot of interesting news and information that came out of that. And one of them was apparently the people who made Joe Danger gave a talk, and they revealed to the public a lot of interesting things about the trials and tribulations they went through trying to find a publisher for this game they made called Joe Danger. And you guys have probably seen, you know, I'm sure Penny Arcade has done it, and, you know, some other people have made comics about crazy, crazy things that publishers say or suggest for video game projects, or force, you know, let's say a developer contracted with them to do. And everyone laughs, and they're like, oh, they're like, you know, the whole thing with, okay, you know, hey, can you turn these characters into, like, you know, undersea creatures, and, you know, it's, you're flying in space or whatever. And just, like, ridiculous requests. And everyone kind of laughs, be like, ha, 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 that's crazy. That's not real. No, it's real. It's real. And, in fact, so the developer, Hello Games.
You're not saying that that happens at your company. Your company, everybody's totally above.
Well, I can't talk about what happens at the company that I work for. But
okay.
In general, yeah, it happens all the time. And so they, you know, these people at Hello Games basically shared with the world some of the things that they encountered when they were shopping their game around and talking to publishers. So, for example, right, one publisher said when they were shopping around Joe Danger. Okay,
more monkeys.
Okay, I'm turning into Bill Handel here.
It's not like we're on the radio or anything.
Right. Who cares? Okay, so one publisher says, name me one popular game with motorbikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, forget the fact that lots of popular games have them. Or, quote, collecting giant coins feels unrealistic to me. Yes, because with video games, that's the first thing we're concerned about is realism. And another one said, I can see this working as a Facebook app. Yeah, okay. Another one said, we want games that are less about fun right now.
Less about fun?
Yeah, so I don't know what that means. I mean...
But you also hate the word fun.
I hate the word fun, but that's just the raw. That's just the funny way to use it.
Okay.
Even funnier than I would expect. Here's another one. We love the theme, but with a different game.
What the hell does that mean?
You know what? Who knows? Who knows what's going on in these people's heads? I'll give you the last one. This is definitely the clincher. Can Joe be a monkey? We like monkeys. So, yes, welcome to the crazy, unexpected world of publisher whimsy, where all of your expectations are just completely just blown out the door because some 45-year-old millionaire has something crazy in his head.
That's hilarious. All right, well, this is the end of the show, folks. We'll be back next week. I, however, will be on vacation for 2 weeks, so I'll see you in 3.
The Aaron Collins Show.
That's right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.